Well, it's great to be with you guys this morning. Hope you're keeping well from the comfort of your own homes. And I hope you guys are encouraged so far by our service. Just before we come to God's Word, I encourage you guys to follow along with me. So it's Luke chapter 18, verses 35 through to chapter 19, verse 10. So Luke 18, verse 35. Please follow with me. As he, that is Jesus, drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. And he, Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was rich. He was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place or the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received Jesus joyfully. And when they saw, they all grumbled, for he has gone to be a guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone or anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Let us just pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it is true truth that speaks truly about each and every one of us in listening this morning. So, Father, cause it to become alive in our hearts. Cause, in a sense, me to be the best signpost I can to you. Thank you that your word is living hope. Make it alive today in us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I wonder, have you ever been to a concert? Or maybe even tried your best to catch a glimpse of someone famous. Maybe have you ever saw someone famous from a distance? Maybe have you maybe even chased after them or know someone who has? I want you guys to picture that in your heads, how that would go. I want you to imagine meeting the Queen, standing there in your best suit or most fanciest of dress, hair done and gelled to perfection, makeup the best it's ever been, your husband maybe doesn't even recognise you, tugging into the best scones and clotted cream ever to fill your mouth. You're standing there waiting in anticipation with many others. And you're thinking to yourself, imagine if she, the Queen, stopped and shouted to me. You're thinking, I'd like to get to know this exalted, famous lady in some capacity. Maybe ask her, is she a big football fan? Or does she like a good old fry? Maybe ask her, what does she think of this pandemic, this lockdown? Or what's her biggest joy of being the Queen of England? But then you're brought right back down to earth with the reality and the realization that this is a matter for her to decide and not you. You see, the knowledge of other people depends on them and not us. We only get to know that person by that person allowing us to know them. You see, the Bible teaches us that God has made us to know him. Not like we know the law of gravity, what comes up must come down, but that we would be changed by him, moved by him, and ultimately saved by him. And so really with that thought in mind, we're landed well at the passages that we've just read today. We see in the closing of chapter 18 to the beginning of chapter 19, two encounters took place in Jericho. In the first case, a poor blind man became a follower of Jesus. And today we're really going to be focusing in on how a rich tax collector, a guy called Zacchaeus, became a follower of Jesus. But what they both had in common was this. They both wanted to see Jesus. And when you hear this, Jesus wanted to see and know them. Both men wanted and needed something that money nor perfect vision couldn't buy. Two complete opposites, yet two complete equals in Jesus' sight. And both came to know the loving Savior King through repentance and believing faith. See, both came into this saving relationship with Jesus. Both came, in a sense, to be allowed to know Jesus, not from a distance anymore, not from blind sight anymore, but rather Jesus made a way for them to see and to know him personally. So let's focus on our friend Zacchaeus today, as there's chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. And really what we can learn from this story today is we see that the Lord Jesus, that he never changes. What he did for this man before us, and we encourage you, he is able and willing to do for any one of us listening today. So I just want you guys to hold that thought in your head as we briefly look through this passage this morning. And so we come face to face with our friend Zacchaeus. We see in verse 1 that he entered Jericho. Well, let's just hit, in a sense, pause there for a second. I want you guys to picture this scene in Jericho that Jesus has entered into. Jericho is no sleepy city. It's a thriving one. It's known as the city of palms. You could say it's a little bit of a rich paradise. It's one of those places that was very desirable to live and be in. Much more desirable than, I'm sure, Belfast. But you've got to ask the question, who is this Zacchaeus fellow? And what is he doing in Jericho? You see, he was a guy who was chief among tax collectors. Other tax collectors were under him. He was one who was rich in authority and rich with all his money. You could say he was the tax collector of all tax collectors. Maybe even the head cheater of all cheats. He has been placed, in a sense, the ruler over the entire tax district of Jericho. He was running rule in tax collector's haven. I'm sure he wouldn't have been the most popular of fellows. He would have been seen as a traitor among his own people. He would have been seen as public enemy number one. He was the guy, picture this, with the crosshairs on his back. But what happened to this man's seeking and curious heart? It is pretty amazing. You see, when Jesus entered the city of Jericho, word had spread like wildfire, and so Zacchaeus' ears pluck up, because Zacchaeus firstly shows this. He was curious about Jesus, curious about wanting to know who Jesus really was. You see, our friend Zacchaeus has a desire. He's wanting to catch a glimpse of this Jesus of Nazareth. However, he's got a problem. Verse 3 shows he's small in stature. He's not the tallest of men, maybe just like myself or someone you know. And he finds himself in a bit of a predicament. He's in trouble. He's not small. Jesus is passing by. He cannot see. He can't see over the people's heads. And as unpopular as he is, he's not going to be led into the front of the crowd, is he? He's short in stature. He's a small, small man. But rather, his biggest problem was not his height, but he was also short in holiness. He was not the best or most honest of men. You see, that was his real problem. And it's a real problem that each and every one of us have this morning. Even myself, tuned in, listening now. I wonder, can you picture this moment yet? What does he do? The Bible says he ran on ahead and he climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus. For he, Jesus, was about to pass that way, as verse 4. You can imagine Zacchaeus thinking to himself, happy days. This is some spot. I'm on the ball. I've got the best seat in the house. No one will ever get in my way up here. I'll not be disturbed, nor will anyone even know I'm even up this tree. Not a chance. I'll miss Jesus now. You can picture him saying that, can't you? You see, Zacchaeus was deep in seeking out Jesus. His interest in this God-man, Jesus Christ, is real. He is willing to do almost anything to see Jesus. Any dignity or respect, it's thrown out the window, folks. So I wonder, is your interest real also? Is your seeking along the same lines as our friend Zacchaeus in your own life? Let me encourage you now. Let me encourage you to hold that thought in your head. Because something here in this story, very unexpected, happened. Right out of the blue. And it's something that Zacchaeus did not expect. Secondly, we see this here. Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped and he showed his compassion with his seeking and saving power to change sinners' hearts. Verse 5 shows this. Jesus came to the place and he looked up. You have to stop and ask the question now. Who's looking for who here? Who's seeking who now? What an amazing picture this is. It's that but God moment. It's the last place that one would look. But that's what Jesus does. He looks in the last place that we would look. And Jesus did. And it's that moment that every true born-again Christian should know about too well. It's that moment when God stops us in our wayward state. It's that moment when God takes the scales off our eyes to see Jesus. It's that but God moment when the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. It's that moment when God's Spirit causes us to seek Jesus just like Zacchaeus. It's that moment that will last a lifetime. It's that moment we'll stand for a term, for a time, and for eternity. That but God moment. You see, the Bible teaches us that we were once unacceptable to God, that we were unfit for heaven, that we were by nature children of wrath. Our nature, our Jamie inside of us, our you inside of you, had no interest in knowing who this Jesus of Nazareth was. There is no one who seeks God, not even one. But wait to hear this. This is Ephesians 2. But God, just pause there. But God, being rich in mercy, when we were dead in our trespasses and our sins, made us alive together with Jesus Christ. What great love that is. And so we see Jesus has stopped. And he stopped under that very tree. And Jesus is seeking, gaze, it looks right up, and it is fixed on Zacchaeus, saying, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So Zacchaeus, he hurried and he came down and he received Jesus joyfully. You can imagine Zacchaeus, when that happened, when that was said, you can imagine his ears pluck up, thinking to himself, this Jesus, he knows my name. This Jesus, he knows where I sit. This Jesus, he knows my heart. You see, here's that but God moment of Jesus calling you down from that tree, that far off gaze being brought near. It's that moment of Jesus calling you close to himself. When you were lost and stuck in the rubble of your sin. It's that personal moment of Jesus stopping at you. Think about that. That personal moment of Jesus stopping at you. That divine salvation appointment. And when you hear this, you did not book it yourself. Verse 10 shows that Jesus has come to seek and to save the lost. Jesus calls. We can do nothing but hear his voice and receive him joyfully like Zacchaeus. The Bible teaches us that the sheep know their master's voice. And so Jesus calls Zacchaeus and he comes to receive Jesus joyfully. So I'm pretty sure if one of those famous people that you thought about earlier, or even the Queen, met one of us today, She would not stop and say, "Yo, Jamie, how's it going? Come over here a second, what are you doing over there? Come down and climb over that barrier. Come see me. And also, I'll be over for dinner later. Sound good?" That just wouldn't be the case, would it? But this is no famous celeb, nor the queen. This is the King above all kings, a name above all names. And he knows all about Zacchaeus. He knows his name. Yes, Zacchaeus was curious about Jesus. We see a man who did all he could to see Jesus. But yet, Jesus was seeking him out. Let me encourage you to do the same. Do whatever it takes to see Jesus. If you want to know him, if you haven't received him joyfully, do whatever it takes. Because right from that very moment, Zacchaeus was a changed man. He received Jesus joyfully. That very night, he lay down in his bed as a born-again Christian. Jesus stopped on his divine mission to meet with one sinner who he knew as his own. So let me challenge you in love. I wonder, is the same true of you today? I wonder, have you heard that voice of Jesus calling you? Have you received him joyfully today? I wonder, have you even been curious about who Jesus is? I wonder, has Jesus stopped you right at your point of need, your point of seeking, your point of doubt, and called you to himself? I wonder, has Jesus called you his own today? And stopped that far-off gaze like Zacchaeus and brought you near. You see, the question is not, has Jesus called your husband or wife, your mum or dad, your granny or grandpa, your brother or sister? Nor has Jesus called your many friends and family. See, being part of a Christian family or having Christian friends, it doesn't save you. But ask yourself the question, has Jesus called your name? And have you come to him? Have you heard his voice? Let me encourage you, Christian, if you have received Jesus joyfully, let me encourage you to keep on looking to Jesus more and more, to see him even more clearly. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in the Word. Spend time with your brothers and sisters, even tonight. Join us in our prayer meeting to spend time with Jesus. See, with those questions in mind and with those thoughts, what we must not skip over is this. It's how Jesus says to Zacchaeus, "Hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." And really, one of the great commentators, J.C. Ryle, he sums this up much better than myself. He says this. "This is the way Jesus saves lost sinners. He does it by walking right into our lives, even uninvited. If ever there was a soul that sought to be saved without having done anything to deserve it, this is the soul of Zacchaeus. Unasked, our Lord stops and speaks. Unasked, he offers himself to be a guest in the house of a sinner. Unasked, he sends into the heart of this tax collector this renewing grace of his Spirit and puts him that very day as his own child, as a child of God. You see, Jesus brings his own welcome. He opens the heart and inclines it to receive him by faith." Isn't that amazing? You see, Jesus is still in the business of calling sinners, just like he called Zacchaeus, to faith and repentance. And this is what Jesus does. And this is how he does it. Jesus' call gives grace for Zacchaeus to respond. And wait till you hear this. Jesus loves to call. He loves to see us sinners. We can praise him for that. So not only have we seen how Jesus stopped and showed his compassion with his seeking and saving power to change sinners' hearts, but what we often miss is this. Oftentimes we can maybe be, thirdly, watching from amongst the crowd. How do you think that would have went down with the surrounding crowds, this scene? I'm pretty sure it would have went down like a like a lead balloon. You see, Jesus would have known that in saying this, the crowd wouldn't be the happiest bunch of folks to be around, would they? They hate this greedy tax collector Zacchaeus as it is. And now this, verse 7 says, and when they, the crowd, saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone to be a guest of a man who is a sinner. You can picture the crowd muttering to themselves, shaking their heads, giving Jesus and Zacchaeus the eye, thinking, what is Jesus doing? You can picture another saying to his friends, I've been waiting here all day to meet this guy. What's he doing? You can picture another saying, this guy is a sinner. He shouldn't have any company with Jesus. Jesus, this is not a good move. What are you at? You could say this was a loveless crowd. A crowd with hard hearts, not only towards Zacchaeus, but Jesus also. You see, what the people fail to understand is that salvation is for sinners. It's for the outsider. It's for the outcast, the cheat, and even the swindlers. And this is what Jesus finds in Zacchaeus, a sinner. Jesus finds the one who was rotten at the core and calls him his own. Jesus offers himself to be a guest in the house of a sinner. What grace and mercy Jesus has shown to Zacchaeus. He's made him a child of God who is near and not far. You see, Jesus did not meet with Zacchaeus to share in his sin, maybe like the crowd thought. That wasn't the case. But he met with him to offer fellowship and forgiveness. Praise him. Jesus offered and gave grace upon grace to Zacchaeus. This unmerited favor. My friends, that's what Jesus does. This is who Jesus is. Let us never run by or yawn over that fact. That we have a Savior who meets with sinners and saves the most unlikely of people. But the story doesn't stop here. Yes, Zacchaeus had that but God moment of Jesus calling him to himself. Yes, he was not popular amongst the crowd, and the crowd were on the wrong side of the boat. But what we notice fourthly is that when Zacchaeus has a renewed heart and come to Jesus, he now shows forthly this great evidence of his transformation. You see, Zacchaeus heard the crowd muttering. He knew they were right, that he was a sinner and a pretty good one. Not good one, pretty great one. He had cheated many people. He had not been the most kindest of men. He hates the sinfulness of a sin. So what does he do? Look at me at verse 8. We are told Zacchaeus stood and said, Lord, behold, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone or anything, I restore it fourfold. And with those words, Zacchaeus shows the crowd. He says this. He says, here's the proof of that but God moment. Here's the proof that he is being made new by Jesus. Here's the proof of what Jesus has done in me. Here's the proof of that transformation. It's real and it's not fake. Jesus has changed Zacchaeus' heart. Here's the proof of him saying no to sin, no to selfishness, and no to himself and the old ways. Here's the proof that he is going to be salt and light. Here's the proof of this love so amazing, love so divine, that demands my soul and my life and my all. And so, in the presence of all the crowd, of every ear and eye tuned in, Zacchaeus gives his riches to the poor. He gives well more than was necessary. He gave abundantly, not out of duty, but delight. He may have been a small man, but he had deep pockets that could not even plumb the depth and the joy of knowing Jesus as Lord. His wealth and his identity is in Jesus now. He's starting to see that the old things are passing away and that Jesus is making all things new. He's giving proof that he is a real believer, a real Christian. So I wonder, does your life, does your heart, does your actions show proof that you are a true Christian? Or do you find yourself just in the crowd, following the ways of the crowd? I wonder, do you know those same words of Jesus in the closing verses, in verses 9 to 10? Jesus says, "Today salvation has come to this house, and since he is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." What amazing words. And with these words of Jesus, the Savior King, he confirms Zacchaeus' transformation, his rescue, his salvation is real. What an amazing ending. But also, what an amazing beginning to the Christian life of Zacchaeus. Jesus sought Zacchaeus, a man who was certainly among the lost. But Jesus did not leave him there. He saved him. Praise him. And today, we have seen Jesus call this tax collector of that sycamore tree. Today, Jesus has sat in the house of a sinner. Today, a great miracle has taken place. Today, salvation and rescue has come to Zacchaeus. It's come to that poor blind man in the chapter before. Today, the great shepherd of the sheep has found his own sheep in the most unlikely of places, up a tree. The Savior of the world has come to seek and to save sinners. The Savior of the world has come to seek and to save you and me. So let me ask, what about you today? I wonder, has Jesus called you to come down? I wonder, has Jesus invaded not just your home, but has he invaded your heart? If you've heard that call, let me encourage you to give thanks. Live out that calling. Give thanks and praise due to his name, for he has found you. He's a Son of Man who has come to seek and to save the lost. Praise him. You see, if Jesus came to seek and to save Zacchaeus, then would you hear this? He is able and willing to save you. You are not a hopeless case. For Jesus has come to seek and to save the most hopeless and give them hope in him, life in him, and salvation in him. You see, Zacchaeus was a man loved with an eternal love by God, so that God has sent his Son on purpose to find him, and to rescue him, and to restore him. To rescue him from his lostness by coming personally to his own home and bringing a sense of acceptance with God into his very heart. Isn't that good news, folks? And let me say this, I pray that God would do the same for you. I pray that God's word would not, in a sense, sleep, help you, would, in a sense, not slip in one ear and out the other this week. That you would not sleep until you come to know Jesus as Lord and as Savior. I pray that this would not rest easy on your heart, but rather it would challenge you and it would open up the eyes of your heart to receive Jesus joyfully. I pray that you would receive this effectual call and by the Spirit you'd be convinced that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. I pray that you would come to Jesus by faith and trust him for eternal and everlasting life and everything else. Let me encourage you, don't delay. Don't let this flow in one ear and out the other. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. As I close, the Bible teaches us that all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And this right for us to become children of God, it was won and completed in full on the cross. You see, only a few days on from this encounter with Zacchaeus, Jesus was going to lay down his own life for Zacchaeus and people like you and me. Jesus was going to lay down his life for men and women of all nations, all shapes and sizes, all colours and races. Jesus would lay down his life for those up the tree and those on the curb. Jesus was laying down his life for the child and for the teenager, for the granny and the granda, for the homeless to the kings, from the builders to the lawyers, from the doctors to those in their deathbed. You could go on all day. Put yourself in that. This is who the gospel is for. Lost people. This is who Jesus is seeking to save. Those who are lost. This is who he will die for on the cross, before rising again with the victory. Maybe you hear that voice in your head, the voice of sin, saying it's impossible. I'm too far gone. I don't really see my need of Jesus just yet. Maybe you hear those words of Jesus in Luke 18, where he talks about how hard it is for a rich man to enter heaven. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, I'm not rich like our friend Zacchaeus. But it's impossible for someone like me to be saved from my sin. If you only knew who I was, Jimmy. I don't. But be encouraged by the fact that Jesus does. Jesus does know who you are. He knows your helpless and impossible state. He knew all about Zacchaeus, this rich tax collector. And yet, he stopped. And he called. And he died to show what's impossible with man is possible with God. Isn't that amazing? He died to show what's impossible with man is possible with God. Jesus, my friends, he has made a way of rescue possible for sinners through the cross. See, we can't rescue ourselves. Sure we can't. Definitely I can't. You see, Jesus has come and he has lived the perfect life that you and I could not. He died the death that we deserve to die, but could never die because of our sin. That while we were unacceptable to God, unfit for heaven, unable to mend our circumstances, he has come and taken our place so that we might be accepted in God. That is the story of this glorious gospel. So I wonder, does this invitation of the gospel address you? Let me encourage you, non-Christian, call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Repent of your sins. Look beyond the eyelids of your sin. Look beyond the eyelids of here and now. Look to Jesus to give you eyes to see your need of him. Come down from that tree, just like Zacchaeus. For God did the impossible with him, and he brought him into his kingdom. And let me tell you, he can, and he is able, and he is willing to do the same for you. Let me encourage you, Christian. We are made for God-like dependence on God. We're made for childlike dependence on God, not God-like dependence on self. So bow your heart towards our helper, our sustainer, our deliverer, our keeper, because we can keep ourselves and rest in the joy of Jesus, the joy of Zacchaeus, who was once lost and looking, and what showed up under his tree just at the right time. There stood a Savior who was actually looking for him. He had been found and forgiven. So praise God for that buck God moment, for that great tab and entry fee was paid on Calvary's tree. For it was grace that took hell out of our way, and mercy that put heaven in our sight. Praise Him. Let us just pause and pray as I close. Oh, Father God, we thank You. We remember that hymn, I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in Him. But I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Father, that's many of our stories. We thank You for this great salvation, this great rescue in Jesus. For that book, God, when You stopped personally and called us. And we can look back and say, there go I, but for the grace of God. Father, we thank You for this reminder this morning. We thank You for the story and the hope of salvation through Zacchaeus. We thank You that this picture points to this great Savior, Jesus Christ, who has plumbed the depth of our hearts, yet He calls and He seeks to save wretches like ourselves. And Father, I pray for those who are listening in this and they do not know this Jesus of Nazareth. I pray, would they receive You joyfully this morning? I pray, would they not rest or sleep this week until they come down from that tree and come to know Jesus personally as Lord and Savior? For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.